Turn the paper to C.
The objective of today is firstly to invite board discussion about the comment letter analysis in agenda paper 15A. And then secondly, if we have time at the end of the meeting to have a discussion about user outreach. So firstly, on agenda paper 15A, in the paper we have summarised the main feedback received from the 57 comment letters on the exposure draft of proposed amendments to the IFRS for SMEs. Now, generally, respondents supported most of the changes proposed. This was to be expected because, apart from aligning the requirements for income tax with full IFRS, the IFB is only really proposing quite limited changes in the exposure draft. However, when commenting on the exposure draft, many respondents also raised a number of broader issues. Many of these were issues that the IFB discussed when they discussed the feedback on request for information in 2012, and also many of those issues were also discussed during development of the IFRS for SMEs leading up to 2009. And these are things like additional accounting policy options, scope issues, and also the IFB's process or approach for incorporating changes to full IFRS. Now, the staff are not asking the IFB to make any decisions today because the first step in the redeliberation process will be to ask it for SME implementation group input. They'll go away and consider the public responses and provide their recommendations to the IFB. And then the staff will bring the main issues to future IFB meetings with the staff recommendations and the SMEG recommendations, and then ask the board to make decisions on these issues. So at this stage, do any IFB members have any initial thoughts or questions on the comment letter analysis in agenda paper 15A?
Amaro?
Well, Michelle, thank you very much for the feedback. I think it's excellent. I would also commend your efforts to reach users. I've tried to collaborate with Michelle, but it's very, very hard, even in jurisdictions where IFRS for SMEs is already in use for a couple of years. It's very, very hard to get feedback from users. I guess we'll have the opportunity to, of course, in the coming months to discuss in more detail all the recommendations and comments here. I maybe have one comment regarding the process itself. It's in the very end of the paper, because this is not actually associated or related with the project itself, particularly with the process in the SME implementation group and recommendations for us to revise how the implementation group is working. So how do you, and this is for me is out of the scope of the project, so do you envisage further discussion on this type of issues that are not really technically associated with the project, or is this much more Alan's and this thinking about how the group is working?
So do you mean going forward, whether we're going to change how the SME?
Yeah, because you report here in your summary.
Which paragraph was that?
It's in the very end when they talk about the SME implementation group specifically. Some criticism that the SMEP implementation group doesn't have the same due process that other aspects have, and then the Q&As, being incorporated in this revision, might be perceived as part of the standard itself. So I think this is strategically something that is very sensitive.
I think to a degree we may have already addressed that, and it may be an education issue, because we have revised the procedure that we have in place for the non-mandatory Q&As, and so going forward I think that will be made much clearer. I think it may be a case of sort of educating people on the changes that we've recently made when we were discussing the request for information.
So, but do you intend for us to be discussing this type of issues as well?
We did discuss, when we were discussing the issues raised on the request for information, we did discuss the Q&A process. I mean, it probably will be something that comes back again during this discussion, but we have got some new procedures in place in order to make it clearer that these are non-mandatory Q&As issued by the SME consultation group rather than documents being issued from the ISB.
Maybe another point on aligned with this is the comments from some that we didn't accept all the recommendation from the SME implementation group. And well, this is a fair question, particularly for the ones who participate in the implementation group. But they continue further in your assessment saying that we didn't justify it enough why we didn't accept this. So, of course, I don't recall all recommendations that we didn't accept, but I guess at the end of the day, we will in some way justify why we decided this or that.
Well, I have summarized here what the comments that came from the comment letters. I would disagree in a way with that comment because there was only maybe two or three issues where we didn't go with the SME implementation recommendations, but because they were quite big issues surrounding sort of a revaluation, permitting revaluation of property, plant and equipment, those kind of accounting policy options, which are quite a big issue for some people, I think that they feel we didn't justify enough why we didn't follow their recommendation in that area.
I think, thanks Michelle, it's a very good paper. I think it's going to this group first, so it's probably not all that helpful for us to give a lot of detailed comments before the group's had a chance and come back with their recommendations. But I do note that there's some quite big questions there, whether you should have options or not. Smaller SMEs, I thought we'd addressed. You know, we've got a document for that. Seems to have been raised again. Alignment with IFRS and how often we change and all that sort of thing. They are sort of big policy questions, really, which we will have to address, but it'll be good to get the group's feedback. With users, I don't know, you do the best you can, but it is going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Philippe? I'd like to ask you, Michel, how are you? You see the apparent conflict between respondents who say that changes to IFRS for SMEs should not be introduced until sufficient implementation experience exists with full IFRS, i.e. new IFRS, I suppose, and those who say that IFRS for SMEs should be more closely aligned with full IFRS, which seems to be totally contradictory directions. So how are we going to deal with this conflict?
I don't have the answer to that.
Wait and see what the SME says, but it seems to me that we clearly have two sets of people who have totally different views. And did you identify any specific color to each of those groups, or do they come from regions, or they?
I mean, there is obviously a lot of people do raise that issue where they want to. Or they feel that the IFRS SMEs would be a useful document for subsidiaries of full IFRS groups. But I mean, this is an issue that is actually, there are some respondents in one jurisdiction that want it one way and some respondents in the same jurisdiction wanting it another way. I think it's more how they perceive that the IFRS SMEs, who it's going to be used for, whether it's used for subsidiaries or whether it's used for entities that are going to transition to a full IFRS in the future.
Philippe, if I can comment a little bit from what I heard, and I guess this was an issue that we discussed at the SMIG meeting a year ago. During our discussions about the SME as well. So it's not a new issue for us. The experience I had in the little bit of discussions that I've had with various parties putting together letters is that it tends to be this issue of within a jurisdiction between the smaller entities and the bigger entities, rather than across jurisdictions. Yeah. So the bigger you are, the closer you want to be, and the more resources you have to apply to keeping up with IFRS. Mm. The smaller you are, the more stable the environment you want.
I suppose it begs the question of to us, to whom do we direct primarily this SME standard? The bigger ones, i.e. the subsidiaries of big groups which could apply full IFRS, or the vast population of other companies, which are normally, I think, the targets for our standard.
Certainly, if you were asking me the question, the word vast there is quite informative. It's a very big group using IFRS for SMEs as SMEs as opposed to subsidiaries of other companies.
Mary? Michelle, when you're discussing the feedback with the SME implementation group, in particular, the suggestions for additional options to be added, you know, the option for fair value PP&E, the option for use of the equity method, I think the suggestions to me come very much from the perspective of a preparer of financial statements, and that's consistent with what you said about the population of respondents. I think if you could introduce into the SME implementation group's discussion, also thinking about the user of those SME financial statements, difficult because we haven't heard directly from many, but one of the things that struck me is that the absence of options should make it easier for a user of financial statements, who may be, for example, a private lender, to have some expectations about how things are done and not have to bear in mind that company A may elect this while company B elects that, because there's a range of options, in the SME.
But contrary to that, Mary, my experience with small business was the first thing the lender wanted to know was the value of your property, plant, and equipment. If it was in at a 30-year historical cost, mm-hmm. didn't mean much to them. And, you know, they take that as security for a beginning.
And there's nothing that prevents an entity from, let's say, disclosing that as additional information in there, or maybe we should think again about what the requirement is. But it was just a general point that when we think about complexity, costs, I think many of these options are presented as it won't be any more cost or complexity because you don't have to do the option, it allows you to keep with what you're doing, but it does impose a cost on the user of the financial statements to understand a wider range of practice.
That's why they were left out in the first place.
Right, and just bring that, because there's no problem with what you did here. It's a very good summary, and it's summarizing the feedback we got, mm-hmm. but maybe just remind people of that context for when you're discussing it as the implementation group.
May I just compliment on that? On the revaluation option, most Latin American countries actually, and I think one of the letters was exactly from the GLAS and another one from CINIF in Mexico, they both ask for inclusion of the revaluation option in particular, but they do so generally because of the legal environment, where sometimes in some of those countries the revaluation is allowed or in some cases requested, so they see this not really as a technical issue or as information or complexity, but they see this as facilitating the process of adopting IFRS for SME in that particular region.
Yeah.
Gary?
Michelle, I too thought this was a very well written paper, and what one thing that struck me is how little disagreement in the feedback came back from the exposure draft put out there, so I think that would say we had a very solid exposure draft as well. Although,
hold on one second here. This is a secret conversation.
We're in lockdown.
It takes two of us to do that.
Although not in the scope of the exposure draft, but there was just a few sets of comments came back about expanding this to definitions, whether it's small public accountability, something like credit unions and so on. Although it wasn't in the ED, do you think the implementation group is going to discuss that, or is that a broader issue out beyond the scope of this?
The SME implementation group will discuss that. The board did have a very long discussion on that when we had comments on the request for information. I think we actually discussed it at two different meetings, but I don't think it is something that will need to come back again.
Yeah, because I can understand where the questions come from, but where do you draw the line? Mm-hmm. Which would not be easy. Just for my own information, I should ask this offline, would wholly owned subsidiaries of public accountable entities be eligible for this?
They would be eligible if they meet the criteria.
But Gary, the reality is we don't really set the scope. Countries that adopt it generally set the scope. So the UK, for instance, adopted SME in a slightly different form, and for instance, allowed credit unions to use it. So that's one example. The scope really is more for when we do our consideration of what we put in the standard, when we're thinking about who's going to use it.
You're thinking non-public accountable entities as we write it.
Ian, I think that's a fair comment for those countries that have chosen to adopt and change IFRS for SMEs. But there are a lot of jurisdictions out there that have not chosen to do that. And I think particularly the pressure on the credit union comes from countries that have taken IFRS for SMEs as is, and because of that find themselves in a position where they can't use it for small credit unions. So I'd add to what Michelle said. Not only do I think this will come back, I think it's going to be one of the core issues that we discuss when it comes up.
I agree with Darrell. I think the way we express it, we seem to say, no, you can't apply if you are a publicly accountable entity, beyond having considered that for the contents, but also in terms of scope. That's the way we express it. And by the way, there is at the moment a reflection going on in Europe for the financing, long-term financing of SMEs, and making it easier for them to access markets, not necessarily regulated markets, but markets to raise capital, i.e. By debt or by equity. And in the paper from the Commission, this communication that followed the consultation, there is an accounting chapter, chapter 7, and in the action plan, there are 2 points which I think are relevant to this, is to consider whether it would make sense to permit SMEs in Europe to use a uniform international standard of high quality, which seems to say that the accounting directives do not really answer that objective. And I think there is an opportunity for us to promote IFRS for SMEs. Now, the question is, if we say, no, you can't because your instruments will be traded, then stop it. But I think we should maybe rethink that issue in the context of this plan.
Well, but Philippe, I think my first point still stands. If Europe wanted to use it for those companies, we couldn't stop them.
No, but we don't encourage by saying you can't.
No, that's right. Well, that's because if you were doing the standard for those companies, you'd do it differently from what we're doing now.
The point about it would be that they would be able to use the standard exactly as it's written, no problem with that, but they would not be able to claim compliance with IFRS for SMEs. And I would imagine that a part of what they're trying to do here is get the tick that says they are in compliance with IFRS for SMEs.
Thank you.
Thank you. To understand Amara's point more clearly, in the case of Mexico or Glasson countries, they are not allowed to change the IFRS for SMEs. I mean, Darrell said that some countries they can't change the scope, but they can change some method options. In a way, some free will. But you are saying we kind of introducing the PPE evaluation option. But why is there any some kind of restriction not to change anything?
No, they do change. Uh-huh. But they would like to have the assertion that they follow IFRS for SMEs. That's why they ask for the inclusion of the option. When they do change and include the option, they cannot assert they are following IFRS for SMEs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah.
Thank you, Michelle. So,
what's next?
Leases.
We have to wait for the FASB then.
And the FASB?
Yeah, thereby, so we'll have to take a break till 3:15.
Very efficient meeting.
Yes.
Very efficient. All this way.